You know, it's really a pleasure speaking to you today and being among the GYT partners. As Ellen mentioned earlier, at the National Office of Planned Parenthood Federation of America, we do not provide services. All medical services are provided by affiliates. And at the time that GYT rolled out in April 2009, we had 97 affiliates that operated over 850 healthcare centers. Over 3 million men and women and teens are seen at those health centers each year. If you look at all the services that are provided by Planned Parenthood, including the educational services, then we actually see about 6 million men, women, and teens each year. Now, medical care at Planned Parenthood Federation of America, through the affiliates, is provided according to the PPFA medical standards and guidelines. And I'd like for Karen Shea and also Dr. Deborah Nucatola to kind of wave to you all, because they are the folks that are behind the annual updates of the Planned Parenthood medical standards and guidelines. Those medical standards and guidelines are evidence-based, based on published peer review evidence. And when it comes to STI diagnosis, treatment, and management, we have always referred our affiliate providers to the CDC guidelines. Now, within the CDC guidelines, it's very clear that all women 25 and younger need an annual screening for chlamydia. As of September of 2008, it was very clear that there was a decided move towards opt-out testing for HIV, and that HIV should be routinely tested for. And we had always had the policy that if an affiliate is located in a high prevalence area for gonorrhea, then you should be routinely screening for gonorrhea. Well, as of September 2008, which was when we had our National Medical Conference, which occurs annually each year, we were beginning to understand that we should be doing better, we within the Federation should be doing better in terms of routine screening of both men and women for sexually transmitted infections. And it was not really clear from the U.S. Preventive Services Task Force or from CDC as to what the routine battery of tests really needed to be, especially for men 25 and younger who do not have sex with men. So when we are faced with a dilemma that is not clearly decided within the literature or within our Bible of guidelines from the CDC, we go to our National Medical Committee. So in September 2008, we went to our National Medical Committee, which is composed of 40 experts from around the country in reproductive and sexual health, such experts as your mentors and folks here within the STI world, Hunter Hansfield, Jeannie Morazzo, and also Heidi Bauer, have all been on our National Medical Committee. At the time we took the questions to the National Medical Committee, we presented them with data that we received from Amy Pulver and others within the CDC as it relates to the county and metropolitan area rates of both gonorrhea, chlamydia, and HIV. This is an example of such a map. It's color-coded in terms of rate per 100,000 per county. The deeper red that you see, the higher the actual rate. And then we layered on top of the chlamydia rate in this particular slide where our health care centers are located. And you can see this is very telling for a number of reasons. And yes, we do understand that we are going to, as a federation, need to look at the distribution of where we actually have affiliates as it relates to disease incidence and prevalence. But that is not the point that I'm trying to get across here today. The point that I really want you to take note of is that we definitely have pockets, as you're aware, of high STI incidence and prevalence. And we wanted to make sure that we paid special attention to those affiliates that are located in those high incidence and prevalence areas. So in preparation for GYT 2009, we had two things. We had the NMC agree with medical affairs that the routine battery of tests should be HIV, gonorrhea, and chlamydia. And of course, the focus should be on the less invasive tests. So our push was urine GC and chlamydia, and also point of care HIV. We also wanted to let those affiliates located in high incidence and prevalence areas know that they were located in those areas, and thus we came up with an initial list of what we considered the high incidence affiliates, which you will see on this particular slide. The red indicates that there has been a merger of an affiliate. So on another slide that I will show you later, you'll see some reds, and that corresponds to our history of having 97 affiliates in 2009 and 87 affiliates in 2010. Well, of course, we wanted data, and Mary alluded to the fact that we really don't have an electronic medical record and practice system that is uniform throughout the Federation such that we can push a button and get a report specific to a particular month. What we do have in the Federation as it relates to data collection is our annual affiliate census survey. And that data usually lags by a year or two because it's collected once a year and it's a year's worth of data as it relates to all the services that are provided within an affiliate. And as you're aware, affiliates provide family planning services. Abortion services is less than 3% of what we actually provide. Preventive services in the form of STI diagnosis, treatment, and management, and also primary care services. So in the interest of collecting data specifically for that month, data that would help to guide us over years in terms of planning for future April GYT now months, also we're collecting data so that we could tell the story of what happens each month that GYT is highlighted. In the interest of collecting that data from a service delivery standpoint, we ask affiliates to collect the information that you see on this particular slide. Namely, you know, tell us the number of gonorrhea, chlamydia, HIV tests that have been done, but in addition, tell us about any testing that you did as it relates to syphilis, herpes, other STIs. And we definitely wanted to know the number of positives. For those high incidence and prevalence area affiliates, we also asked them to give us data on the percentage tested of the percentage treated of the positives and also partner treatment. Well, the lesson learned was that this was too much. Too much given all that was going on. And in reality, our real focus is on HIV, gonorrhea, and chlamydia. So we decided that for 2010, we really needed to simplify things and make changes because it's more important to get a complete set of data on our main areas of interest than to have sporadic data collection on a number of different variables, some of which we're not even going to be utilizing at this point in time. As others have mentioned, we had 100% participation from the affiliates, and What else complicated the data collection from the standpoint of affiliate operations was that the data was asked for on a weekly basis. Now, you need the weekly data as it relates to special events and as it relates to issues around being able to communicate not only to the media, but also being able to communicate internally among affiliates about who's doing what and how successful they are. We really do not need weekly data around the number tested. We need it at the end of the actual launch month. And so for this year, one of the changes that we've made is that we are asking for the data to come to the national office around services to come once a month. We had asked for comparison data for April of 2008, actually, of all affiliates, and we also asked all affiliates to please give us center-level data. Again, that was too much. The change for this year is that we're asking for an affiliate-wide data. If you want to give us center-level data, perfectly fine, but what we need from every single affiliate is really affiliate-wide data. So 88% of affiliates reported. In terms of the center level data that we were really looking for, only 46% of those reporting sent us center-wide data. And then, as shown before by Mary, only 10 affiliates, which is 12% of those reporting, reported comparison data from April of 2009. So why take affiliates through all of that trouble? And that's the reason why we're making a change in 2010 until such time as we get to our common electronic health record and practice management systems. At that point in time, we'll be in a very different situation. So the new form, again, is and is still actually being simplified even more because we've had conversations through federation-wide phone calls about how to make this form even simpler. We are, again, focusing on gonorrhea, chlamydia, and HIV. There's actually another page that of the workbook, this is an Excel workbook, that deals with demographic information. That demographic information is the same demographic information that's collected through the annual survey. GYT also enabled us to expand our list of high incidence affiliates. Mary showed you a median chlamydia rate, which was about 6 to 7% for females and about 13% for males. We looked at the GYT positivity data that was sent into the national office and added to the original CDC chlamydia high-risk zone affiliates, those affiliates that had positivity rates of 9% or more during the month of April. And so that is the second column of affiliates. We also added all of those affiliates that had positive HIV tests. And the positive HIV tests were, as you saw in a previous slide from Mary, were all among men. And then we definitely wanted to make sure that we were paying close attention to what we call our high-performing affiliates, those affiliates that had fantastic special events during April of 2009. So this is right now our list of affiliates that we are paying greatest attention to. And it's also the affiliates that we are actively in conversation with various manufacturers in terms of trying to acquire donations so that we can have more free testing events. Well, April 2010 is around the corner, so in actuality, We are really working towards the free donations issues for April of 2011. And that actually gets me to the final plea and request for all of you in the audience. We have always envisioned GYT to be a campaign that expands over time, such that we have partnerships between affiliates and local agencies, especially local public health agencies. I know that some of you in the room participated in GYT last year as it relates to the provision of reduced and low-cost services. However, we'd like to expand over this year and going into April of 2011, the strength of the partnerships as it relates to services between local agencies and the affiliates. If you would like to strengthen that relationship with the affiliate that's located in the same locale as your agency, please give me your contact information, whether it's a card or just a piece of paper, and I will promise you that I will facilitate your contact with the local affiliate. Because the only way that we're going to be able to have the capacity to do all the tests that are going to be needed because of the demand created by our partners at MTV, Kaiser Family Foundation, and CDC, is if we are all participating in GYT over time. The only way that we're going to be able to normalize this whole concept around regular and routine testing among young adults is if we strengthen the network of providers that are going to be providing those testing services. Thank you.
Thank you so much to all our speakers. I'm going to ask all of you to come up on stage to field questions from the audience, if that's okay. Okay, do we have any questions? Okay. Okay, you can go.
Hi, Roland, a few for me. First, amazingly impactful what you guys have done, great. And what, if any, mistakes have you guys made in terms of messaging that was correct for this year's program? Maybe that you saw it didn't resonate as well with
MTV.
Yeah, just make sure
to.
Lessons learned from messaging in 2009, focusing on the mistakes around messaging.
Okay. That's a great question. I don't know that we have kind of granular optics into messaging mistakes. Like, we can look at different spots and which resonated more. We've got our partners here to see that there's fidelity in the message and that there's clarity. So I don't know that I can speak to particular missteps, but I know that we do see a real benefit in opening the aperture more to focus on testing, or on talking about testing. So to introduce that component this year and see how that works. We've already got like a foundation and a lot of evergreen spots that will come back this year, and this will be about introducing this into the message mix. But it's a good point. I think there's an opportunity for us to drill deeper into which messages connect and which don't. And I know that the CDC has done some testing too, so we take that seriously and want to, you know, use that to fuel the campaign moving forward.
I think one thing that some of our affiliates from the health departments have told us, we've had a lot of requests like, you know, could you make this with, you know, African American teen women? Could you put in more gay youth? Could you, you know, but don't, by the way, don't stigmatize anyone while you're targeting them, but go ahead and focus on those populations. So, you know, we've had some comments and questions like that, but the real testing is being done by our communications scientist, Allison, who is who's working hard on the message concepts.
Well, and I guess, to add to that, It is important, I think, to have diversity, and so no one wants to be targeted, but to include diversity is something we've learned is important. And actually, folks from Kaiser and MTV have participated, well, observed the focus groups that we did test some of the PSAs, and we've learned some, I think, some important things on the use of celebrities and celebrities that have credibility. And so this year, the celebrities are doing spots, they're doing more programming, like real life, like going into, or how to get tested, or how to talk to your partner, how to talk to your provider about getting tested. And the PSAs are not actual celebrities, they're going to be sort of real life people that our target audience resonate with, maybe, or just can see themselves. So that was one of the things that we've learned. But to be honest, we don't know so much about anything that did not work, as much as we're moving on from, you know, like Jason said, it's about talking, because really trying to get people to openly be able to start communicating it. Now that it sort of was branded last year, the focus is moving on, and it's not so much because of anything we did wrong, just because the campaign is progressing and evolving.
Case, I think I saw your hand.
Yes, Case McMurray, Denver. So the campaign is really focused on provider-based testing, right? And so the problem is that for certain providers, particularly SD clinics, the barriers to access is still, you know, very high. I'm sure that kind of normalizes it. I think that's a good thing. But have you considered thinking about other testing modalities, including, you know, home-based testing, which is possible, and just curious whether that's
As Allison mentioned, this is all evolving, and most definitely we want to consider home-based testing. And we're trying to bring to bear stronger partnerships with other providers. For example, we've been in recent conversation with AIDS Healthcare Foundation to be able to take advantage of their mobile testing system that they're creating across the country. So, as the technology progresses and the modalities for providing services progressed, we hope that we're going to expand in all those directions, because as you're aware, one size does not fit all. And the goal is to be available with the services where the people are and where the people can easily access the services. So again, cards, please give to me. Pieces of paper, and the focus would be to make these partnerships grow for 2011, because again, April 2010 is just around the corner.
I would give her my card. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
With respect to home-based testing, I mean, I think most people immediately go to HIV and say, oh, HIV home-based testing. I assume you were talking about chlamydia testing at home.
Well,
chlamydia and gonorrhea. Right, and we actually want to add that as a, when people go to findstdtest.org and they look at what's available in their zip code, what we'd really like to do is be able to incorporate I Want the Kit as a home-based internet-ordered service where people can get a self-collected swab kit for chlamydia and gonorrhea and then have it sent off to the laboratory. As you know, there's actually very few laboratories that have been validated to conduct all those tests. So what we're doing now is kind of trying to work out the infrastructure that would support that kind of a campaign. Because to me, that kind of campaign is like pure gold. I think
that's right.
I think that would be spectacular.
That's right.
I saw your hand over here.
What are you talking about?
I don't know that. April 1st is what we're geared for.
I think there are different dates for different materials, but
well, it depends on which.
I think the GYT kits that are being mailed out, I think that's what you're asking about,
yeah,
right?
The
okay. GYT kits, yeah.
Right. The hard kits should be mailed out around St. Patrick's Day. So that's the plan there. We're trying to stage the final online kit that Jason showed. We're just staging, it's in the final stages of us kind of going through it and saying, you know, there should be a T over there and, you know, so forth. And then that should be released as well so that people can begin downloading the art and using them for their local campaigns. And everybody who ordered the hard kits will get an email as soon as the digital kit is available.
Yeah, this year we were particularly resource constrained, I think, across all the different organizations, and we have committed to the fact that when we hit May of 2010, we're going to be planning for April of 2011. So forgive us as it relates to April of 2010.
I saw your hand up front here.
Michelle Rousseau from New Hampshire. I'm curious, and it's somewhat based on the plenary session that we had this morning around our role as far as sexual health within the media. And so, Jason, this might be more of a question for you. And if you haven't already thought about capturing it, whether you can consider capturing it, but has there been any anecdotal or hard data that relates back to the ambassadors that have been chosen and their role and their messaging beyond just the DYD, but in their practice of their music and how they relate to this population we're focusing? Is there a way of, has their involvement impacted how they now include lyrics or suggested activity or whatnot in the work that they do?
That's a great question. So the way we approach talent generally is we look at the issue and we look at those parties that are credible on that issue or interested and passionate in being advocates on that issue. So that's kind of where it starts. And frankly, with Soulja Boy, he got an education on STDs as he was getting prepared to do the spots. And, there are going to be people who are really committed to any particular issue and will really go deep. And there's other people who will lend their name to for a short amount of time. I think the fact that by leveraging his celebrity, we were able to reach an audience we may not have reached otherwise, that was really beneficial. So he's not necessarily going to take that and put it into his lyrics moving forward. We don't have control of that, but.
Not so much what's the message, but the content of the music. So it's almost like a double message if youth are listening to music that talks about violence, drug abuse, the risk behaviors that are associated to STDs.
Right.
So I guess
it's something that we take really seriously and take into account because this audience, to be blue, has a really well-honed bullshit detector. Like they know when somebody's just doing something for publicity or, so we're not going to use people that what they're going to say is going to fly in the face of what they preach otherwise. So that is really important, I think, just for the credibility of the campaign. Sometimes it's finding that middle ground, and you may have somebody who'll help you out in the interim isn't necessarily going to be a long-term advocate. But we do have others that, through working with us, become informed about and become passionate about an issue moving forward and will be ongoing. I would say it opens doors. So nobody typically wants to be the first person in line to be a part of the STD testing campaign, but when we have bigger names involved, it helps get other names involved. And so I think this year we've seen a good response from others who want to join in. So.
I saw a question in the back.
Are you guys have any ideas about integrating other programs into the GYP campaign, like say the I Believe in the Beat campaign, like from the vaccine trial or whatnot? Or is there any opposition to the idea of incorporating other campaign into it?
With great respect, I say, what campaign did you say?
I Believe in the Beat is the current vaccine trials that we're
There's a really very interesting set of dynamics that operate between different campaigns. And, so for example, I didn't actually know about that particular campaign. I think we're open to we recognize that STDs is never necessarily going to be like the first thing that everybody signs up to wear a ribbon and march in a parade about. But on the other hand, we can, in fact, ride the coattails and the energy of some of the diseases that do get more attention. And so we're very open to working with folks who do have those campaigns. Very often, other campaigns have already set up their focus and they don't want to expand it because they believe that that would take away from the focus of the strength of their focus, the laser pinpoint on their message. So we're definitely open to working with other campaigns and folks, and it's just a matter of how much they're kind of willing to accommodate the STD message.
Yeah, and And again, I want to reiterate, this is all about, you know, developing and strengthening of partnerships and talking about what can be done creatively with a focus on us not diluting our message either. But I have been actually talking to folks about how it might be nice in 2011 to focus some of the time on vaccination for HPV. So I think that there are a number of different possibilities that could evolve over time, and as long as we keep the get yourself tested focus as it relates to STIs.
And then just from a creative standpoint, so this campaign is very bespoke for the MTV audience and for our brand. So in terms of influence or ways that we could join with others, that could be a limiting factor, but I think at a bare minimum, we want to know what others are up to so that we're not duplicating efforts, and that gets to that point about gaps, so where we can help fill gaps. If we know that somebody else is focused on another issue and they have aggressive efforts there, we can at least coordinate the focal point of the campaign or the energies of the campaign. So.
I think we have time for one more question. I'd seen you over here.
Yeah, I don't know if it should have been brought up so stuff, but last year one of our pharmaceutical reps in country was Physician X and Davidson Materials, and we thought they were really interesting, and we actually couldn't use them in our clinic because of the bureaucracy involved in that, but we actually used it with mainly our little gay and lesbian community, especially the youth. One of the high schools that actually fortunate enough to have a gay and lesbian straight alliance used it, and the response was it was fun for them, and it was such a great response. They actually want to incorporate that with the local PLAT to create a better collaboration for kids to come out and express their sexuality in a more positive way and get parents involved. So I'm really excited about where it's going. I've had great experience with it, so I'm hoping it works.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We like you.
Okay, I think we're out of time. We've hit the 12:15 mark, so thank you again.